Good morning. Boxes. When I set it up, it wasn't as much, but now it's sort of taking over the space that I need to be in. This morning, our scripture lesson is from Luke chapter 21, verses 5 through 19. Hear the word of the Lord. When some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, he said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." They asked him, "Teacher, when will this be? And what will be the sign that this is about to take place?" And he said, "Beware that you are not led astray. For many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and the time is near. Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first, but the end will not follow immediately." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes and in various places, famines and plagues, and there will be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. But before all this occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to testify. So make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance, for I will give you words and a wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be betrayed, even by parents and brothers, by relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your soul." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Last year, I tried something new. It usually goes, and if you have been in church for a long time, you know this. You know how to respond to this when I say, "God is good," and all the time. Well, if you remember last year, I also asked, let's mix that up a little bit and ask, "God is with us, and all the time." Do you remember that? Something you do. It wasn't loud as the "God is good" part, but that's all right. How we address someone reveals what we believe about them. When we say mom, friend, or teacher, we're naming a relationship. And so when we bring our prayers with the words, "Almighty God," we are also naming what we believe about who God is. What do we mean by Almighty? In today's gospel, we find the people admiring the beauty and the strength of the temple. They saw the massive stones, the immovable walls adorned with beautiful stones, and they associated that with God's power. But Jesus said, "These stones will fall." He reminds them and us that the things we call strong are not always truly strong. Then Jesus speaks of turmoil, wars, earthquakes, betrayals, and suffering. Not exactly what we expect from a world ruled by an almighty God, is it? I mean, if Jesus was advertising God as almighty, this is the wrong way to do it, is it not? If it was up to us, we'll write something triumphant, right? Like, follow me and no harm will ever come to you. Or walk with me and you will never struggle. Or call on the Almighty God and God will shield you from all troubles and pain in life. Maybe some of us have used that line or have heard others use that line. But let me ask you this in earnest and in honesty. Is that really true for you? By following God, is your life without pain or suffering or loss or troubles? Well, it's because Jesus doesn't say that in our scriptures. Instead, he says, expect to go through these trials and hardships, these earthquakes, these famines, these diseases, these wars. And it is in the midst of these struggles that we will be given an opportunity to testify to our faith, to be the light. Jesus is not promising the absence of struggle in life. And God's power isn't shown in protecting us from every hardship. Instead, God's power is shown in staying with us through them. Do you see the subtle difference? He is promising the presence of God, to trust that God's strength is working in us even when life feels fragile. So what do we mean when we say Almighty God? We say that we're not talking about God who keeps every stone standing, but a God who keeps our soul steady when the stones fall. Not a God who removes every trial, but a God who makes us able to endure. To call God Almighty is to say, God is stronger than anything that shakes my world. That God is faithful even when all else fails. So when I am praying to the Almighty God, I'm talking to a being that is bigger than any of my problems, struggles, or fears I face in my life. And this being is with me, giving me strength to face these things head on, not to avoid them, but to confront them. Again, not with my own strength, but the strength that comes with being in relationship with the Almighty God. Isn't it interesting that there will be wars, earthquakes, famines, and persecutions, but in the entirety of our reading, the only thing God actually promises to give us are what? Did you catch it? Did God promise to give us weapons to defend ourselves? Is that what the scripture said today? Did God say that God will give us shelter, a building to protect us from these disasters? Is that what Jesus promises? Did God promise for a cure for all the diseases and solutions for the famine and the plague that is about to come and that is here? Is that what God promises? What does the scripture say about what God will give us during this time of trial? God says, I will give you words. 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 What? We look to weapons. We look to buildings. We look to cures. We look to these things. And we look at it as evidence of God's strength sometimes. And when these things fail us to protect us, we feel like it's the end of the world and that God has abandoned us. That's what they felt about the temple. They thought that God was in that temple, and when it was destroyed, they thought God had abandoned us, that it was end of their world. But the scriptures tell us that it is by the word of God that God created the world. The same word that became flesh and dwelt with us, Jesus Christ, who gave us the promise of eternal life. Did you also notice this contradiction? The scriptures say they will put some of you to death. But in the next two verses over, Jesus says, but not a hair of your head will perish. What? We will die, but we will not be perished? What does that mean? Do you remember what Jesus told the Sadducees last week? Jesus says, and the fact that dead are raised, Moses himself showed in the story about the bush, where he speaks of the Lord as God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now he is God, not of the dead, but of the living. For to him, all of them are alive. The promise of resurrection and eternal life, a life after death, the security in the eternal life, that is what Jesus is promising. Even though we face death here and now, war, earthquakes, famines, plagues, but those don't get the last word. That is not our end. Death is not the end. No, it's the life after death, the eternal life. That is the word of God that gives us life. That is the word of God that we can rely on, that we can depend on. The promise that God is with us. Always, will be with us always, here, in death, and in the life after. I want us to understand something about our gospel lesson this morning. Because this text has been taken out of context all throughout the ages, used as a measuring rod to falsely predict the end times. How many of you guys ever heard of this before? If you guys know a person who freaks out every time there's an earthquake or a war or of something, thinking that, oh my goodness, the world is going to come to an end. So hear me when I say that all of this had already occurred by the time Luke writes this book. The decoration of the temple continued throughout Jesus' lifetime. And less than a decade after everything was completed, it was destroyed by the Romans. And at the time when the temple was destroyed, Christians at the time considered this as a confirmation of a prediction Jesus had made during his lifetime. During the time leading up to the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem, and ultimately war, many people took action to defy Rome during that time, and various leaders rose believing that they are the Messiah. Luke's own account of the time between Jesus and the destruction of the Jerusalem presents a famine in the time of Claudius in Acts 11:28 and an earthquake in Philippi in Acts 16:26. Furthermore, the persecution of believers is recorded all throughout the book of Acts, which is Luke's second book. So in Luke's account of Jesus' speech, then, the emphasis in the initial part is not on the coming of the end time, but on the events that happen in the lives of followers of Jesus through the time of the destruction of Jerusalem and his temple. Luke's purpose here wasn't to help his readers to predict the end times, but to help his readers that this person named Jesus and his teachings about God can be trusted because everything he said took place already, like the prophet. Luke pointed these things out in order to show that Jesus is to be trusted. This all occurred already in Luke's time. Now, I'm not saying that the Word of God cannot transcend beyond time and space. Of course it can. And these words surely have relevance even in our lives today. But it is not for predicting our end. Because what age in history of human beings that was without wars or some sort of natural disasters, famines and plagues, or persecution of certain groups of people because of their beliefs and faith? It was always there. Our human history is riddled with all of these things. And it is still here today. But what Luke and Jesus was pointing out was that buildings, institutions, social structures, all that we think are strong and hold dear for our security, like the temple of their time, will be destroyed. But what has been proven time after time throughout the ages is the Word of God. Rome, who was the powerhouse at that time, is no longer here, is no longer the power of the world. But what remains constant throughout time is the promise that the Almighty God will be with us. So even though things that gave us security are gone, the temples of our lives are destroyed, even though the world seems to be falling apart all around us, we don't despair, thinking God has abandoned us. Because we know God is not in the buildings or the institutions or the social structures that we have created. No, we endure and still live life with full of hope and peace and joy and love. Because the promise, the word, the power that created the world is and will be given to us in times of trials and tribulations. So let us testify even in the midst of the storm by living in hope and love with full confidence, knowing that Almighty God is and will be with us always, giving us strength to endure the things, the happenings of our life now, in our deaths, and in our life to come. God is with us, and all the time, may you hold on to that promise, and may that give you the strength to face all of the life that you go through. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.